Thank you. All right, good morning, everyone. Y'all do know that, you know, Satan does get up when you get up, that he's ready to come to church when you get up to come to church. I heard my phone go off and my text message, and I thought it might have been Brother Carey or a member of the congregation. And it turned out it was somebody who had gotten the wrong MIN number. They were saying that they were in the hospital, and I didn't know. I didn't read it all because Satan said, don't read it all. So I just deleted it because my name is not Isabella. I checked my ID. My name is not Isabella. And so I deleted the text. And I immediately thought to myself, well, you know, I don't have time to deal with these people because what? Well, I got to go to work, got to go to church because I'm preaching this morning. And so that's what Satan will make you do. See, Satan is, you know, you got to preach this morning. Somebody's saying they're in the hospital. You don't have time for that. But see, God will give you a second chance because they text back. There was a picture of somebody in the hospital. So I told him, I got my second chance. I said, my name is not Isabella, but I am going to pray that you get better. And so the person texted me back and said, thank you. You know, you sound like a pretty decent person. And I'm not, but I try. But so I said, okay, you know, but, you know, we're going to, you know, so they asked me, did I live in Nevada? I have a 702 telephone number. And I said, well, I lived in Las Vegas for a number of years. And so they was like very thankful. I said, look, I'm going to ask the congregation to pray for you. And can you give me your name? And we exchanged names. And so if you get a chance when you're on your knees or in your corner tonight, ask for prayer for Miss Evelyn, who is in the hospital, and I believe somewhere in Nevada, and pray that she gets better. And because Satan had told me, you don't have time for that. And I told Satan, of course I do. I'm supposed to be a minister of Christ, and someone needed prayer. And so how that got to me, I don't know. But Satan will tell you that you need to go to church and preach and don't worry about that person. And that's not the way it works. And I told that whole story so you know that's not the way it works.
Amen.
You're supposed to be concerned. And at that point in time, when she texted me, she became my neighbor. And I became aware of her situation. And I said, so if you get a chance, pray for Miss Evelyn. And pray that she's going to be okay. I told her we would pray for her. And I might even check on her in a day or two and see what's going on. And so I'm learning a little bit. I'm trying to grow a little bit. I'm trying to get spiritually mature, but it's a little at a time. You know, there are some other things that are very important in life. And sometimes they catch you on Sunday morning when you're trying to get to church. And you got to still be one of God's children. So I pray for her. I also pray for Sister Tracy. She gave blood yesterday. It kind of wiped her out. So she's home, hopefully resting and not cleaning up. I don't know. I'm not there. But hopefully she's home resting and listening. All right. You cannot serve God and Satan. Now, I had some problems. I actually had about four or five titles for this. One is God does not hate you, because for some reason a lot of people think God has it out for them. And God does not hate you. I had God does not have it out for you. But it's really important, and I had this in Romans, because a lot of people, as I've always said, know about God. They know all about him. But they still want to deny that he exists. But what they do is they blame him for everything that goes wrong. So you say that God doesn't exist, but he's at fault for everything in my life. Well, then I got to believe he exists. So we go to the next step of thinking that God is just out to get us. And God is not out to get you. So that could have been a possible title. But sometimes there are people out there who are serving Satan. So they have to think that God is after them. Whether they know they're serving Satan or not, I do not know. but hopefully it'll come across as I start. So open your Bibles if you have them. You can open them to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to do some reading this morning. Not a lot. We're going to do some reading. I'm going to make some points, and it's going to be hopefully not as long as I think it's going to be, but I really felt that I felt something as I was putting this together. Maybe it was fatigue, or maybe I had been looking at the computer so long I was getting dizzy, but either way, it continued on. So I came up with, you cannot serve God and Satan. You can't even serve God, but first you have to figure out that you're doing what? That you're serving Satan. So you got to learn some stuff. And part of learning some stuff as you're here during this service is reading the Bible. So we're gonna do some reading this morning. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Paul was separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I only read the first ones because you wanted to know that it was Paul writing to the church at Rome. And Paul is not in Rome, and that's why he was writing to the church of Rome. So, but Paul wanted them to know that he was thinking of them. Paul says, from our God, our Father, you would think that belief in God would be the most basic of all human regard. Acknowledging God as one's creator is foundational to learning more about him, and we are surrounded with proof of God's existence. And it's only through sin, and it's highlighted a little bit, it's only through sin that men reject that proof. Some would say it is foolish not to believe in God, let alone to not have faith in him. I messed that up. To not have faith in him. After Paul talks about how much he would like to visit Rome because he had not gotten there yet, he talks about the faith in God I just mentioned. Paul, in Romans 1 and 17, Paul says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And we were talking a little bit about that this morning. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Because that when they knew God, and I say they know God, even those which are lost, proved that they had learned, though ignorant of the way of salvation, knew something of the unity and the spirituality of God. So the heathens, as they called them, they knew of God, And some of them longed to know him better. They knew of God. They were more accepting of God at times, even more than what? Even more than Israel was. So he said, because that when they knew God, even those are lost, proved that they had learned, though ignorant of the way of salvation, knew something of the unity and spirituality of God. They knew or had notions of his perfections, of the creation and the government of the world, and the duties which men owe to God and to one another. Love God with all your might, all your mind, all your everything else, and love your neighbors as yourself. They knew that. They had an inkling of it. Someone had told them about it. Love God with everything else, but love your neighbors as yourself. However, there are many reasons that people, that keep people from having faith in God. There are those who don't have access to the gospel, but and there's no one there to preach to them. And that's not many. That's not many. Another obstacle to faith is that some folks love their sins so much that they refuse to abandon them in the pursuit of Christ. Sometimes they won't even acknowledge they have sin. But if you read the Bible, if you start the pursuit, you'll figure the other part out. That's why the Bible becomes so important in everything we do. But they don't even want to read the Bible, but they love their sins. But they'll tell you that they're not sins because they don't have anything to measure it against, because, I'm sorry, but nowadays, they don't even point them out. They won't point them out. And then the people who point them out, well, we're just bad people. Well, I'm a sinful person. I try not to be a fully bad person, but sometimes you got to point them out. There are also many who do not come to faith because of false teachings and teachers. And we talked a little bit about that, about people who say different things and they go away from the Bible and they created their own little thing about how to get to God and what you can and cannot do and what is sin and what is not sin. And they don't follow the Bible. They make it up themselves so that everybody can feel like, I'm going to be all right. And guess what? They're not going to be all right. Amen. So we need to get away from those people, and those people need to come and sit in a room with men of God who's going to tell them right from wrong. They need to recognize when they bring up their Facebook page and they're looking through the 75, what do they call them things where you put them in Facebook? Posts. Through the 75 posts that they have all those scriptures, and no one of them know what any of those scriptures mean. I love them when they post, you know, if God is good to you, you say yeah. It's like, I don't have to answer you. I answer to God. Amen. Stop trying to make me seem like a bad person because I don't want to play on your post. I guess maybe that didn't. But anyway. And the sad case of people who refuse to believe because of the poor conduct and witness of believers. That's us, y'all. I threw us in the mix. We need to be better at representing God, especially outside of this building. We come in here and we sit and we look so nice and we're so quiet. But when we get out that door, we need to be the same respectful, humble people as we are in here, because we represent God even more out there.
Amen.
And then some refuse to believe in God because they cannot accept the idea that a good and merciful God would allow so much injustice and suffering in the world. And that's pretty popular, because people said, I read on, I was looking, and people wrote down the reasons why they couldn't believe in God. And that was one of the top reasons. The other reasons was things that had happened to them. God let this happen. God didn't let anything happen. Like, what did you do? God, you know, and so that's the main reason. How can he let? As I said, I've read a number of these questions, and most go like this. How can there be a God when there's so much evil, suffering, and injustice in this world, and that an almighty God, almighty and merciful God could prevent? This issue not only tries those out there, but it also challenges a lot of us in here from time to time. When we pray for so many wounded or pray for so many killed, I remember asking myself questions concerning faith in God. I remember it was almost like a scene from the movie a long time ago. Something happened, and I was standing out. I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and I'm standing, and it is pouring rain, and I'm watching a car drive off, and I'm looking up at God and saying, "Why are you always doing this to me?" And it's obvious I had done some things to myself, but I was blaming it on God. I even blamed it on the fact that it was done in the rain. And I was too stupid to go to my car and get in it instead of standing out in the rain yelling at God. But that's what we do. See, we blame God. Others also often wonder, why does he permit evil and suffering it causes? And if he truly is a God of mercy. Well, he is a God of mercy. Sometimes it's hard to understand that God does not just put us through suffering to be mean to us, or that it is not always God who causes people to suffer. The Heavenly Father is a God of love, and everything he does is out of that place. The truth is that life is hard sometimes, people are hard sometimes, circumstances are hard sometimes, things are hard sometimes, and we will go through trials. I told you about that last week. Sometimes we go through trials, and sometimes we go down the wrong trail. That's what we have a Jesus for, because he'll get us back on the right path. I try to always remember Jesus says, we will have trouble in this world, but to do what? To take heart, because I have overcome the world. No, God did not cause the trouble, but in his love, he has created a way to make things right, both in our lives now and at the end of time when Jesus will return for his bride. In the meantime, there will be pain and suffering that we must face. Paul says this a little further in the book of Romans. If you look at Romans 8 and 18, Paul says, I am sure that what we are suffering now cannot compare with the glory that will be shown to us. If we hang in there and hold on, guess what? Everything you've ever went through will be nothing compared to what you're going to go through.
Amen.
We can't even fathom it. We make stuff up trying to even get close to it, and I think we still fall short. I don't care how pretty a picture you paint of heaven, you're not close. But keep painting the picture, because if it's a pretty picture, maybe you'll want to see it. Dean says, in fact, all creation is eagerly waiting for God to show who his children are. He said, meanwhile, creation is confused. I think that the brother said this morning, yeah, Adam was created, we're part of God's creation. And guess what? A lot of us are confused, but not because it wants to be confused. God made it this way in the hope that creation would be set free from decay and would share in the glorious freedom of his children. I told you that. You read the King James Bible because what? It makes you think. God wants us to be able to think, and so we can see, so we can figure out some things. King James makes you think. It makes you want to figure out some things. I use the common English version because it was like the King James, but I needed you to hear it up front. And the way it was going to come out, it was a little bit better if I read it from here. So. See, not everybody has accepted the evil that seems to have overtaken the world these days. Some are just confused, but they must accept the alternative, God's love. They know something's wrong, but they won't say something's wrong. They won't go and refer to God to say, God, help me figure this out. So they're not saying anything. But the world, not just the U.S., but the whole world has seemed to accept evil. But what is evil? Some things we consider as evil befall people naturally. These things happen to people against their will and well-being. Fires and accidents and diseases and earthquakes and all those things that cause random suffering anywhere on earth. It should have been on earth, I apologize. Anywhere on earth. I mean, you know, we don't cause earthquakes. We don't. Tectonic plates move. The stuff underneath them, a lot of people can explain that a lot better than I, but the tectonic plates move. You can go outside and jump up and down all you want to. It will be fun to see, and it like might make a couple of people's day. You know, you'll probably end up on Facebook right underneath a scriptural thing. But yeah, you won't cause an earthquake. So the fires happen, accidents, I mean disease. So all of those things, they're things that sort of a natural thing. They come about. Some diseases do. However, immorality, where human will and action are evident, is a bit different. Those things, those are things that people do to themselves and others, which are evil and cause suffering and death as well. This is the sad and undeniable reality of life. A lot of people refuse to accept that evil is a result of disobedience to God and refuse to follow the Bible. Because that's what it all is. It's disobedience. Evil is disobedience. If you follow the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to wrong anybody. Amen. What it just says? It says what? Love your neighbors as yourself. It says what? It says to think of other people more highly than yourself. It says what? It says to consider other people's problems just as much as you consider your own. Amen. It doesn't ever tell you to hurt anybody. But a lot of people accept that evil is the refuse to accept that evil is the result of disobedience to God, because guess what? They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to follow God. They have that problem with God. And they don't want to follow the Bible because they refuse to read it or encourage not to. I always say that people do encourage you not to read the Bible. People influence you not to believe in God. They're chanting it and running up and down the street saying it. It shows up more on TikTok than Facebook. But on TikTok, they'll tell you in a heartbeat. You got no business following God. See, these things or that type of evil affects both the innocent and the guilty, and even more so when there is no justice handed out to those who cause harm. Why? Well, I can't really know why, but if they did read the Bible, they know that the first instance of disobedience that we know of is Satan's rebellion before the creation of the world. Folks, Satan is evil. Look at that for a minute. Just in case you don't know, Satan is evil. If somebody calls you Satan, whether they believe in God or not, they're not calling you something good. They're saying that you're evil. There is nothing that's relatable to Satan's name that is good. There is nothing. Whether you are a Christian or not, there is nothing relatable to Satan's name that is good. Satan is evil. If Sister Linda calls me Satan, she's saying I'm evil. She's saying if you call someone Satan, you're saying they're evil. There's no substitute for that. You're evil. They're telling you you're evil. They're telling you need to straighten yourself out so that they can withdraw that moniker from you. Because that's the moniker you get when you're evil. Satan is evil. Mark 4:15, and these are the they by the wayside when he's talking about the word, and the word is given out and some falls to the wayside, and where the word is sown, but where they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take the word that is sown in their heart. It's Satan that's taking the word of God from you. Luke 10:18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Because he did what? He rebelled against God, and he lost, and they kicked him out. Acts 5:3, but Peter said, Ananias, and then have Satan fill thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. And guess what? It was their land. They didn't have to lie. But when Satan gets into your heart, he does what? He causes you to lie. First Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But who hindered us? Satan hinders us. Satan says, you ain't got time to deal with that person in the hospital because they're not here. You don't know them. No, Satan does those things. He keeps you from coming to church. He keeps you from going to see someone. He keeps you from saying hello just to make someone's day. Because he's evil. Everything about him is evil. Matthew 25:41, then shall he say, almost unto them, to the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Satan, God prepared a place for them to have everlasting torment. John 13:2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to do what? To betray Jesus. Satan got up in his heart and said, do this thing. 1 Timothy 3:7, moreover, we must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach, into the snare of the devil. And that's where you don't want to end up. You do not want to end up in the snare of the devil. And if you get there, we'll be glad to pray for you to get out and help you get out. But you got to recognize you're in the snare of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because you're what? Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Immediately you go to the book of Job. God, he had Job. He said, have you considered Job? And Satan didn't say, I'm not going to mess with Job. Satan went and did everything he could to Job that God would allow. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. He tried to destroy him. God said, you just can't kill him. Well, he managed to kill just about everything else. Satan is the evil of this world. John 8:44, you are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Where he speaks is a lie. He speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. I wanted to put those up there so you can see that they're the same person, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, which and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation 12:12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he had but a short time. God was saying the heavens are clear, we got rid of Satan, but he's going down to the earth and he's going to wreak havoc. That's what the woe is. He's going to wreak havoc, and he's doing his best to wreak havoc. He's convincing people to wreak havoc with him. And we tell them to read their Bible. We tell them to come to church so we can show them where he's wreaking havoc with them. But there are other people telling them it's okay. And it's not okay. Satan is an angel. An angel who refused to remain in the position to which he was assigned by God. He disobeyed that command and continued in this pattern of rebellion with the successful temptation of Adam and Eve. The negative effects of disobedience grew as the descendants of Adam and Eve multiplied in number, as well as ungodly behavior to this day. To this day. I need to say it again. To this day. You know, there was no break in the chain. God, he threatened a couple of times. He told Moses, I'll just end this thing and start with you, but there's no break in the chain. We all go back to Adam and Eve, and we've been growing worse by worse, day by day. Some say that we're trying hard to destroy ourselves. But there is a remedy for Satan. In Romans 5 and 12, it says, Adam sinned, and that sin brought death into the world. Now everyone has sinned, so everyone must die. Sin was in the world before the law came, but no record of sin was kept because there was no law. Yet death still had power over all who lived from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. This happened, though not everyone disobeyed a direct command of God, as Adam did. In some ways, Adam is like Christ who came later. But the gift that was God was kind enough to give us very different from Adam's sin. That one sin brought death to many others, yet in an even greater way, Jesus Christ alone brought God's gift of kindness to many people. Jesus Christ alone. There's a lot of difference between Adam's sin and God's gift. The one sin led to punishment, but God's gift made it possible for us to be acceptable to him, even though we have sinned many times. Death ruled like a king because Adam had sinned. But that cannot compare with what Jesus Christ has done. God has been so kind to us, and he has accepted us because of Jesus. And so we will live and rule like kings. Everyone was going to be punished because Adam sinned, but because of the good thing that Christ has done, God accepts us and gives us the gift of life. Adam disobeyed God and caused many others to be sinners, but Jesus obeyed him and will make many people acceptable to God. Jesus obeyed God. He obeyed everything that God said. If you read about Jesus, you'll know to obey God. That's why you read the Bible. That's why we tell them, read the Bible. You don't necessarily have to come here, pick up a Bible. That's all I'm telling you. Pick up a Bible. Pick it up and read it on your own. Reading the Bible, we discover that God is eternal, holy, personal. He's gracious and loving. But sometimes people feel like God has it out for them. I felt like that day in the rain. I had to figure out that a lot of things that were happening to me was not from God, but from earthly things as well as worldly things I was involved in. But for a long time, I didn't think that way. I kind of figured, like that, put that kind of. I went way back. I kind of figured God doesn't think I'm good enough and went through part of my life assuming God had it out for me. Remember, God is the ultimate authority, and a lot of us have a problem with authority. And a lot of us first deny we have a problem with authority. But when you're home sitting by yourself, you have a problem with authority. And sometimes people unconsciously have placed their feelings onto God as such. It is usually not something we think about, but often do. We never take into account that God does not have it out for us. However, We think that way. We can and will reject the God of the Bible, as many do. The fact of the matter is that because God is the final authority and gets way more blame than Satan and us for the bad things that happen in our lives. Often we are left asking the question, why does God hate me, or does God hate me? I told you in the beginning I couldn't think of a title. God does not hate you. But you ask yourself, does God hate me? The short answer to the question, does God hate me, is no. If you are a human being, then you have been designed by your Creator to reflect His own image. God loves what He created. And He especially loves human beings because we are the most like Him. So why do some people assume God hates them? They assume God hates them. They don't read the Bible. And I say they should listen to the Bible, but they don't read the Bible to even get it in their head that Jesus also told them another story. And we're going to go into Luke 15. We're going to start at verse 11. Once a man had sons, the younger said to his father, "Give me my share of the property." So the father divided his property between his two sons. Not long after that, the younger son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country, where he wasted all his money and wild living. He had spent everything. When a bad famine spread through that whole land, soon he had nothing. He went to work for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of his pigs. And he would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and said, "My father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am." He finally came to his senses and said, what? He finally came to the senses and said, back in my father's house, back in my father's house, there's plenty even for the servants. But in my father's house, there's plenty of room. And he said, my father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am, starving to death. I will go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers. The younger son got up and started back to his father, but when he was still a long way off, and if you stop and you say he's still a long way off, guess what? If they noticed him a long way off, that means they were what? They were looking for him. His father was standing there and he was looking for him to come back. He saw him a long way off. His father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer to be good enough to be called your son. But his father said to his servants, hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his fingers and sandals for his feet. Get the best calf and prepare so we can eat. So we can eat and celebrate. So we can eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but has now come back to life. He was lost, and now he's been found, and they began to celebrate. And the older son had not been out in the field, but when he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So guess what? Satan pops up. He popped up. Satan pops up and he said, I can't get the younger son anymore. I'm going to go after the older son. And he's out there and he heard the music. He heard the dancing. So he called one of the servants over and asked, what's going on here? The servant answered, your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered to kill the best calf. The older brother got so angry that he would not even go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in. But he said to his father, 4 years I have worked for you like a slave and have always obeyed you, but you have never even given me a little goat so that I could give a dinner for my friends. This other son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes, and now He has come home. You ordered the best calf to be killed for a feast. And his father replied, my son, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but he is now alive. He was lost and has been found. When you're found, you become alive in Christ.
Amen.
When you walk out that door and you say, I'm never coming back, we talked about it this morning, you separate yourself from God. And when you separate yourself from God, you die. And the further you get from God, you die a little more. And the further and further you go, sometimes it ain't no coming back. That's all we tell people. Don't get that far away from God. And if you're that far away from God, before it's everlasting too late, come home. He didn't come back. He came home. We're to go home. Even if you're like a prodigal son, even if you felt you had to go out into the world to experience it, whether you believe you found success or the world wiped you out, all you need to do is come home. I think there's a song there, Sinner, Come Home, something like that. I can't sing it. The younger son got up and started back to his father, but when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged and kissed him. I'm going over it again so you can get it. The son said he had that whole thing he made up to tell his father, and his father didn't listen to a word of it, but he was in the middle of it, and his father said, hey, get him his robe. Get him some sandals. Where's his ring? Go out there and kill something that's the fatted calf. Let's celebrate. And then he said, this son of mine was dead, but now he's come back to life. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. And if you go back up a little bit, back up to the beginning of this chapter and read the parable of the lost sheep, and Luke, it starts about 15 and 4 in Luke. If any of you has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will you do? Won't you leave the 99 in the field and go look for the lost sheep until you find it? And when you find it, you will be so glad that you will put it on your shoulders and carry it home. Then you will call your friends and neighbors and say, let's celebrate, I found my lost sheep. That's what it says. Let's celebrate, I found my lost sheep. All we're asking you to do is just walk away from this sinful world and come home.
Amen.
If God hates us, it's because of our sin. He didn't wipe out Adam and Eve when they disobeyed him, but he had to separate himself from them. Read just the first 10 chapters of the book of Genesis. No. I wrote that down. Read chapter 5. Read chapter 5. Here we go. Adam, 930 years. Seth, 912 years. Enos, 905 years. Kenan, 910 years. Mahalalel, 895 years. Jared, 962 years. Enoch only lived 365 years, but guess what? Enoch and God became so close that God just took them. Now, that's the thing. I wasn't there. But don't you wish that God would just take you? Just take you so you don't see death.
Amen.
That's why Enoch's only got to be 365. He walked with God and God said, come with me. But then Methuselah lived 969 years. Lamech lived 777 years. And Noah lived 950 years. See, God loves us. He did not intend for us to wither away and die in so short a period as we sometimes do. God has created us with an eternal spirit such as he has. He wants us to be with him forever. Those lifelongs were supposed to be lifelong, but guess what? Read the Bible. Read Genesis. When you read chapter 5 and you go through all of those names I just went through, and they had children at a certain age, and then they had more children. And guess what? 8 lives were saved by water. And that, you know, that was a good group of people. And they had children. And their children had children. As they went from generation to generation to generation to generation, there were some people on the earth, and 8 lives were saved by water. So that's why we say, read the Bible, find out. We said, you don't have to come here, read the Bible. God loves us. And if you think it's too late for you, that you have squandered away any chance to see God for yourself, think about this. Luke 15 and 7, we're going to end up right there. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 and 9 just persons with need no repentance. So he's saying repent. Repent. That's what we say. You hear, you believe, you repent. But you gotta do what? You gotta hear it. If you at least read it. They have audio Bibles. Listen to it. Believe it. It's going to make you repent. I challenge you to read the Bible. Because if you read the Bible and you still think that Satan for some reason is better than God, then you know you're right where you belong. But at least give yourself a chance. That's all we're trying to say up here every Sunday morning. Give yourself a chance at life. But we do. We say, hear, believe, repent, confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Boy, 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 boy. That'll change you. That'll change you. And then we'll baptize you. You'll put on Christ. You become a member of the body of Christ. You get your own Bible. And you'll start reading that thing. And it will change you. It will change you. For any reason that you are a member and you're having some things you want to go through, you can let us know. And certainly we'll pray for you. And we'll do whatever we need to do for you. And we can do all that as we stand and sing the selected song.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home.